Welcome to UK Partnerships for Christ Radio. We are a Christian ministry seeking to dialogue with other faiths and worldviews from a biblical perspective. Okay, welcome to UK Partnerships for Christ Radio. I'm Jason from UK Partnerships for Christ, and I'm delighted to be joined by fellow member of the ministry team, Jason Wright. If you want to say hello.
Hiya. Hi, you guys.
Jason is also an ex-Jehovah's Witness and pastor of Born Evangelical Fellowship. And today we are going to be discussing the subject of the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Watchtowers Memorial. If you're a Christian and if you're listening to this podcast, chances are you have now had an invite to the memorial. So we just wanted to do a little podcast on what this means to the Jehovah's Witnesses, what they actually do, what their whole process is all about, and really how, as Christians, we should respond to this matter. So Jason, you've obviously been a Jehovah's Witness before, so you know how the process works and everything else. So what is, obviously you're a born again believer now. You go to church and do communion once every 2 weeks. How is this different from how the Jehovah's Witnesses would do communion? How is it different?
Well, the Jehovah's Witnesses, first of all, only do the memorial once a year. They call it memorial, not communion. And if you can imagine doing communion, and you receive the wine, you receive the bread, but in a kingdom hall during memorial, these emblems are not partaken of. So the wine is taken and it's looked at very briefly and then passed to the next person. So the people don't actually partake of the emblems. There's a talk that discusses Jesus coming and his death, but the actual congregation don't partake in that remembrance, not physically take part. It's like taking part at a distance, you know. Very, very strange. In fact, I've heard it said that Satanists do the same thing, that they pass the emblems by, and it's like a rejection of Christ. And when you're born again, when you come to realize what that means for you as an individual to remember and to take part in that, suddenly it all makes sense. I mean, I'm sure it's the same for you. When you first took the emblems, it's a, shouldn't maybe use the word magical, but it is a magical moment of realizing he is your saviour. He has died for you, and receiving that love and forgiveness. It's Jehovah's Witnesses don't have that. It's a, sort of like a distant mental ascent that Jesus has died, and in effect, it goes back to Russell's teaching that you're going to get a second chance through this. You know, if you die, you'll get a resurrection, a second chance. But grace and forgiveness is just alien.
Okay. So is this something that Jehovah's Witnesses have always practiced? Have they always just simply passed around the bread and wine? Was there a time when they used to partake of it as a congregation?
Yeah, there was, because when Russell began preaching, he was preaching a 40-year harvest period, which would terminate in 1914. So for those years, everyone who were part of that harvest would partake of the emblems. They all believed they were going to heaven. There was no concept of not going to heaven for them, for this class. And that went on until probably the late 1930s, mid-1930s. And then you have the evolution of a new class, the Jehonadab class, which the Witnesses call the Great Crowd class. And it's these ones that don't partake of the emblems because they believe they're going to live on earth forever. Mm-hmm. So therefore they're not going to reign with Christ. That's the difference, two classes.
Yeah, definitely. I think for any Jehovah's Witness, when they come out of the Watchtower and they come out of that teaching, and taking communion is really special. And I think that as Christians, I think it's very undervalued what they're actually doing on a, you know, on a Definitely. On a weekly or two weekly basis.
Yeah.
But it's very, very special because this is connecting the saints. This is connecting yes. us to Christ. Mm. We're doing what it is that his disciples did with him mm. the night of his death.
Yeah.
And I think this is the really important thing. So I think for any Christians that listen, mm. that if a Jehovah's Witness comes into your church, but he refuses to take communion, there is a reason behind that
mm.
because they don't believe that it's for them.
Yes.
You know, they'll pass it along and they won't partake of it.
Yeah.
So it's important that we understand this subject as to why it is Jehovah's Witnesses don't, mm. and then see how we can actually unravel it and we can actually help them.
Sure.
So why do Jehovah's Witnesses refuse to partake of the bread and wine? Why do they not partake of it?
It is really this class distinction. It comes back to that idea that you've got one class which is going to go to heaven, which now, I don't know what the latest statistics are, maybe, I don't know, 12,000 worldwide, that claim to be going to heaven. They do partake. But the rest of the millions of Jehovah's Witnesses do not. And they're the class that believe they will survive the end of this system, survive Armageddon, and go on to live in paradise. And so long as they don't mess up in this trial for life, then they can live forever. With all was that hanging over the heads that if they do mess up, they'll be annihilated. But the point is that they do not partake of the emblems because they don't believe they'll be sharing with Christ in glory. Terrible.
Mm. So essentially then, Jehovah's Witnesses don't partake of it because they believe that there are two classes of Christian.
Yeah.
That you have the great crowd,
that's it,
who are yeah. the sheep, and yeah. then you have another class which are called the other sheep.
Yeah.
Can we just turn to that scripture that they use? And I know you'll know where it is because you preached in it in a sermon recently. So, but I can't remember where it is. So you'll just have to point me in the right direction. It is in John, isn't it?
Yeah, John 10.
Yeah. So if we look in John 10, and this is what they will try and use in order to claim that there is a two class system. So if we take it from So in the whole of John 10, Jesus is talking about the shepherd,
yeah.
And he refers to himself being the door of the sheep in verse 7, and then he goes on to talk about the thief, and then when we look in, should we take it from verse 14?
Yeah.
And then we'll read it through. Read it through to 17,
yep.
And then we can try and unravel it. So did you want to read that, and
yep.
then we'll try
okay.
and unravel it?
I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me because I laid down my life so that I may take it again.
Okay, so that's what Jehovah's Witnesses will use. So they'll go, right, so there you go. You've clearly got a distinction of the sheep. And then in verse 16, it clearly says that there are other sheep.
Yeah.
And so what they're teaching is the fact that the other sheep represent a special class
yeah.
of people who are going to go to heaven. And they are, and the number of them is 144,000, and that's what they will, then they will jump to Revelation to demonstrate that. Yeah. Now, I've seen this type of stuff preached at a memorial to explain who the other sheep are. So, but it's really important that whenever you're doing any kind of Bible study, that you look at it in the context. So when we look at it in the context, Jason,
yeah.
what do we actually see here? What is Jesus saying?
Yeah.
Who is he talking to, and who are these other sheep?
Yeah. Well, in the context, he's talking... Well, first of all, it's reaching right the way back into chapter 9, because he's drawing a parallel with the Pharisees and, in effect, saying that they are these thieves and robbers that are trying to enter the sheep pen by different way. And then as he goes through, he lays out this foundation of being the good shepherd, speaks about, I have sheep. Well, speaking to who? Well, his audience were Jews, and therefore he was speaking to Jews. They were the sheep of God. They were the sheep of the Israel of God. They were the sheep. Okay? And so when he says, I have other sheep that must also come in, who are they? Well, if we look at the history of the early church, it was the Gentiles. The Gentiles came in with the conversion of Cornelius. And so we have the sheep who are Israel and the other sheep who are Gentiles. Very easy in the context.
Mm. Yeah. So and that's what he's talking about, isn't it? He's talking about joining the Gentiles and the Jews
that's
together.
That's right, one flock.
That's right, and they become one, and they become one with Christ.
Yeah.
And that's really what Jesus is talking about. There's no mention in here of a set number that are going to heaven. There's no mention of the 144,000 or anything like that, is there?
No.
Okay.
No.
So it's important to if we're going through with this with the Jehovah's Witness, that they understand that the fact that in this context, Jesus is talking about the Jews and the Gentiles, Gentiles are the other sheep.
Yeah. Absolutely no other way to understand it.
Yeah.
You have to jump hoops and hurdles, and basically you have to strip it of its context and then give it a new meaning, which is what they've done.
Sure, okay. Now, we've talked very briefly about the 144,000. We can't obviously go on about the 144,000 issue too long, because we'll have to do that maybe on a separate podcast. So just to explain then, so why are there only 144,000 that originally were going to partake of the emblems, and how has it all started, and so why are only now 12,000 people sort of partaking? How can you just go through exactly how it all began and sort of what it has done to the to the religion and what the effect it has now?
Yeah, I mean, very quickly, Russell already had this sort of in its embryonic stage, but it came to its fullness after Russell in the time of Rutherford, because what was happening, the Jehovah's Witnesses were supposed to be collecting this final harvest of the 144,000, but there were more and more and more and more. So how do you explain the more and more if you've already got to 144,000? And the way they round that was to create a new class, the Jonatab class, the great crowd class. So the 144,000, in the eyes of Jehovah's Witnesses, are an elite class that reign with Christ in heaven over the earth. These ones at death are supposed to go straight to heaven, resurrected to heaven, and will form a heavenly government that will rule over the earth forever. Whereas the others, those that do not partake of the emblems, they live on the earth.
Okay. And so when were these sort of anointed supposed to have sort of reigned the earth? Because surely if those 144,000 were picked at the time of Russell, surely they've all died now. Is that not how it's worked?
I'm sure if you work out the mathematics, it would work like that, and therefore the door of the ark, as it were, for a witness would be closed long, long ago. But they get over that by saying that some of them weren't pure, or some of them fell at the last and therefore needed replacing. So that's why you still have people partaking of emblems today. They're supposed to be replacing ones that have somehow fallen astray. But I mean, if you were to calculate the number of witnesses, say in the 1920s, you're already getting to that. You can't keep adding to it. That's the point. Mathematically, it doesn't work. And then if you take the theory that these were collected from the time of the apostles, then if you were to equal that over the nearly 2,000 years, it's, you know, minuscule amount of people. So very strange doctrine. And completely out of context with the scripture.
Yeah, so the whole thing with 144,000 doesn't really work, because it's been far over 144,000 that have partaken of the emblems.
Yes.
So really, as much as you can try and skirt around the issue and go, well, maybe some of them weren't true believers, maybe some people did it because they didn't really know what they were doing, they maybe took it out of ignorance, but that's going to go, it just doesn't work, it just doesn't...
Because even in the 1800s you had a circulation of hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of watchtowers even in the late 1800s. So if they were all claiming to be of this heavenly class, then, you know, how can you still have that vast numbers partaking in the 20s and 30s? It makes no sense.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So, like I said, I don't want to go into too much detail about 144,000, because, like I said, there's a whole other subject that will take a long time to go through. But essentially, biblically, should there only be 144,000 people that go to heaven? Is that, you know, are we all destined to go to heaven if we're true believers?
In a nutshell, yes, because Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me," he didn't say whoever of the 144,000. And in addition to that, the context of the 144,000 relates to Jews. There's a whole list of tribes in the book of Revelation. So, there's no way of justifying that idea that you've got two classes.
Yeah, that's right. And I believe it's in Revelation as well, where it talks about the great crowd. It talks about the great crowd standing before the throne. Can we just turn there? I'm just trying to remember where it is. It's in Revelation. So if we look in Revelation chapter 7, and if we read from verse 9, it says, "After all these things I look, and behold, a great multitude," I think in the New World Translation it will say "great crowd," "which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues." Now, they would say, yep, that's the grey crowd. But then look what it says. It says that they're standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands. Now, this is the problem, because obviously Jehovah's Witnesses say that the grey crowd are destined to go on the earth. Well, here, it clearly says that the grey crowd is standing before the throne, which, of course, is in heaven.
Yeah.
And so this is where the problem lies. There is no two class, and everybody is destined, who is saved, to be part of the great crowd who would then go to heaven.
Yeah.
Okay?
Definitely.
Right, so let's just get into sort of some of the feelings that a Jehovah's Witness has, because obviously you've been a Jehovah's Witness, as I have. So let's just talk about the night for the memorial for a JW. What does it feel like on Memorial Night? This, as we've already explained, this only happens once a year. Generally, because you've put a big flyer out to people in the local area, you're going to get more people there. What does it feel like as a Jehovah's Witness on Memorial Night?
Well, I think everybody varies. For myself, it was a special night. It was the most special night of the year. Therefore, I was in expectation you would go to the memorial, and I'm not sure what I was expecting really, but I guess, I don't know, but you go along and you sit there and I think a lot depends on the speaker. If the speaker's good, then you get that bit more out of it, but either way you still come away empty. You still come away with, you know, you've moved on no further than the day before, even though it's this special day, because you haven't taken part in it. You don't know who Jesus truly is, and you haven't taken part in the remembrance. It's it's an anticlimax.
I think I know what you mean. I think the thing is that, you know, there's always that sort of buzz that there's you know, you're going to get new people there. This was something a little bit different to perhaps to sort of your normal meeting, but I think for me the whole thing just became repetitive.
Yeah, sure.
You'd hear the same message every year.
Yeah.
You know, these emblems aren't for you. They're for ones of the 144,000. And of course, the problem is that I know in my kingdom hall, no one partook of it anyway.
Yeah.
So it almost kind of seemed like a pointless exercise. Yeah, we'd all pass around the emblems and no one would partake of them.
It's as if, as well, as you do that together, you're glorifying, if you like, this anointed class. You're sort of looking, you're passing them by, and you're looking not really to Jesus, but to this governing body, to this 144,000 that will and are able to partake of these things. So, yeah, there's some sort of something at work that is domineering and dominating through that.
Mm. Okay, so I think it's fair to say that on the night of the memorial, a Jehovah's Witness is going to feel a little bit different.
Yeah.
In whatever reason.
Sure.
And I do know for me that the memorial was the last meeting that I personally attended as a fully fledged believing Jehovah's Witnesses to be the truth.
Mm.
And that was the last meeting for me that I went to where I had that mentality.
Yeah.
And I believe something changed in me that night. Right. to make me think something else.
Yeah.
because it did seem a pointless exercise to be able to you know, you go to the trouble of the unleavened bread, you go to the trouble of the wine,
yeah.
The trouble of putting out all these flyers for inviting everybody, and then you just watch him pass by.
Tell them all not to drink.
Yeah, that's right. And then you listen to somebody for half hour talk about how, look, we do this, but you know, we pass it around. I mean, is there any biblical support for simply passing around the emblems and not partaking in it?
Absolutely.
Is there anything that they point to?
I can't think of anything. Is there absolutely no?
I've never heard anything.
No,
so
I mean, it's really what you said. It's this invention of two classes, and then just simply saying you can't partake.
Mm.
I can't think of, there's no scripture, because at the Last Supper, Jesus told everyone.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
To partake.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, but the thing is, Jay, is that you know, we talk about this and we talk about, you know, the memorial and everything else, but I mean, does it really matter? I mean, you know, we obviously, as Christians, we've often got different opinions about various different subjects. Is this whole issue with what they do at the memorial really a big issue?
Well, sadly, some liberal Christians would think not. But the reality is, it's absolutely a problem, a major problem, because they are denying their Saviour. First of all, they don't even know their Saviour, because they don't really know who he is, believing him to be an angel. So they're not saved. They're not saved, they're not partaking of the emblems. Even those who are partaking of the emblems would question their salvation because of their indoctrination as witnesses. So it's down to us as Christians, wherever possible, to engage them and to help them to see this error.
Mm, yeah, okay. I mean, I think you're absolutely right in what you're saying. I think that there's two fundamental issues, really. The first thing is that Jesus was very clear to his disciples, as you've already mentioned, of the fact that keep doing this in remembrance of
yeah.
me. And there was no evidence to support the fact that they would simply pass around the bread and wine.
No.
They partook of it.
Yeah.
And he said to keep doing this in remembrance of me,
yeah.
not just do it once a year.
That's,
and I think
right.
that is
yeah.
that is another issue as well.
Sure.
But I think that for me, I think coming out of the witnesses and reading some of these verses in John 6 were really important. Jesus in chapter 6 talks about the bread from heaven, and then he talks about in verse 48 of chapter 6, he says that I'm the bread of life. And then he says something that really is really key. In verse 51 to verse 54, I'll just read that briefly. It says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said, and this is the important bit, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Mm.
Now, we're not talking about this from a Catholic point
no,
of view, where
no.
they do this ceremony
yeah,
and
sure.
they believe that Jesus is actually in
yeah.
the emblems. We're talking about it from a symbolic point of view.
Yeah.
But Jesus was very profound, that unless you partake of it, you have no eternal life. Now, you can't get much more blatant than that, the fact that He says, if you don't do this, you have no eternal life. And he says that anyone who does, that he will raise them up on the last day. And he says there that they have eternal life.
Yeah, sure.
And I think that's the other important bit as well, because obviously as Jehovah's Witnesses, you don't have that guarantee of eternal life until after Armageddon. Mm. Yeah. So that's obviously, you know, why it is very important, the fact that as Christians, we follow the method that's set out for us in the scriptures.
Yeah, definitely.
When, you know, these Christians are obviously going to get their flies through the door. As ex-Jehovah's Witnesses, you have the opportunity to obviously, you know, reach out to these guys during the memorial time when they're thinking about this kind of thing. Mm. What would your advice kind of be for the approach to Christians when they have this opportunity to go and engage with them?
I think because, first of all, it for the witnesses, it's a very important day. So there's that, I think, necessity to show some respect for that celebration, however wrong it is. So the Christian needs to approach the whole subject with compassion and with love and with understanding, and to try to not be argumentative, not to just tell them how wrong they are, but to try and help them to think for themselves. That's one of the keys. It's no good just being in, you know, battering your heads and Bible ping pong. It's getting them to see. And that verse what you've read there, you know, just sharing that verse with a witness and asking them, well, what do you think it means? You know, how do you think this, even the one with the Last Supper, read it and say, well, because the answer might be, well, it's 144,000. Or just say, well, where does it say that? Ask them to prove it. And they can't. So it's a matter of, I think, getting them to think, but doing so in a loving and kind way, which is, it can be difficult because of their arrogance at times.
Mm. Yeah, okay. So would you encourage the Christian, or encourage ex-Jehovah's Witnesses that want to reach out at the memorial, would you encourage them to go to the Kingdom Hall and sit with them if they've been invited to it, or even if they haven't?
I think if you feel after prayer that that's the right thing to do, you should do that. You should follow what the Holy Spirit's put on your heart. And for Christians, I think especially, just to experience that, not be scared of that meeting, but to go and to try and understand. It may even be that, you know, you're being called to a certain ministry, but don't hide away. That's the big problem with Christians. They hide away from these subjects. Or if you're listening to this, then speak to an ex-witness. Try to, maybe there's somebody local to you that might go with you, to, you know, to support you, so that we keep on making progress in helping them.
Mm. Yeah. The important thing is that Jesus said to go and make disciples.
Of course.
And these ones that are in the watchtower are unsaved people.
That's right.
Who have the potential to be a disciple.
Yes.
Who may well be one of the sheep that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
And I think in this respect, there is a wrong way to approach it, but I think that there are different methods to use. One of those is to go and sit with them and try to engage with them at the memorial.
Yeah.
and doing it in a nice and respectful manner.
Yeah.
However, I have known, I know that in Stockport Evangelical Church, I know that last year what they did is they handed out flyers to people walking down the street to there.
Yeah.
And I think that if you're going to do that, then again, as we've said, highlight a scripture from there that is going to challenge them.
Sure.
And I think that's the important thing, is that you can challenge them, we can do it in a nice way.
Yeah.
And while we do it in a nice way, that remember that you are armed with the truth.
Yeah.
And so it's important to get that across to them. And so while we do our best not to offend people and to upset them, they have to hear the truth.
Yeah, of course.
And it might hurt them initially, because they might feel attacked, that you're attacking them personally, but you're not. You're attacking the belief system. But at the end of the day, as you and me can testify, you have to be broken before you can be fixed, and it's definitely one of those times.
Mm.
So I would definitely say that this is a time of year to obviously, as Christians, we obviously will, you know, I mean, Jesus is in your memory every day, of course he is, but this is a time of year when we do the the proper celebration, as it were. Sure. But this is also an opportunity to talk about Jesus. And yes. I think that's the thing, that when you're a Jehovah's Witness, it's all about Jehovah. It's all about his organisation. It's never about Jesus. Mm. This is the one night of the year when they're actually given a little bit more of a focus to Jesus.
Yeah.
And so therefore, utilise it as a way of talking about him.
Sure.
So yes, by all means, talk about the what Jesus said with regards to the memorial, but actually, more importantly, who is he? And so that's another thing to obviously talk about. So is there anything else that you'd like to add to that?
No, I mean, ultimately it is what you've just said. It's leading them from one point to the next. In other words, the memorial is an opening to help them to see true salvation, to help them to know who Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, that's down to God acting and working, but yeah, that's the goal.
Mm, absolutely. Amen.
If you would like to learn more about us or comment on anything you have heard today, please check out our website www.upfc.org.uk, where you can contact us.